From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Dustin is joined by Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nagg to discuss the EPA's decision to allow for summertime E15 sales. Riley discusses the Habitat Incentives Program with Grace Yee of Practical Farmers of Iowa, and I will speak with Tracy Rodemeyer of Case IH. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, the sun is shining for now, but rain is back in the forecast. This is Dustin Huffman on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Andy Peterson joining me as well for Iowa Ag Matters. This first segment here of Iowa Ag Matters brought to you by Experian from Elanco. And, you know, talking with Secretary Nagg earlier this morning, he said to me, Andy, he's like, he said, you know, we can't look a gift horse in the mouth when it comes to rain. We need the moisture. Yeah, we want to get the planning done.
Absolutely. And towards the end of the week, it looks like a better chance, just a bit of a minor chance here. 4-inch soil temperatures rebounding nicely after the cold temperatures. We'll talk about that here coming up. Greg McBride from Allendale kicking us off here into the marketplace, visiting with Mark Magnuson.
Joined today by Greg McBride of Allendale for our opening market discussion. Greg, what are we seeing taking place here on Monday morning in the grains?
A little bit of mixed trade here. You do have the corn down just a touch in the overnight. Beans down about 4 cents. Wheat holding firm, actually up, following through on some of Friday's good feelings. Up 9 cents in Chicago, 9 cents in KC, and about five in Minneapolis. So there is a little bit of back and forth tugging on the corn market as the beans are down and the wheat is up. But overall, not a heck of a lot of new news to work off of here. We do see that Brazil is about 89% harvested at this point with their soybeans. So we'll continue to watch that situation. There are some concerns about the development, or at least maybe some potential delays for Argentina. But as we start to talk about delays, we start to talk about our own weather. And some of the rain that's coming in the 6 to 10 day forecast for the United States does look like it could hold us back from seeing further planting progress, not necessarily this week, but more so in the next week, and holding us back just a little bit. So, you know, if you want to look for something that's friendly to these markets, this is going to be the story. It's not much of a story right now, but it is something that the bulls will want to hang on to, is potential planting delays. It's not something that we'll necessarily think that we have to take off and run higher on, but it is something that could keep some of the selling at bay for right now.
Here in the United States, what are you expecting for the planting progress numbers here today? Do you expect them to be kind of in line with what we've seen so far, and also kind of tracking with recent past years?
Yeah, I think we'll be a little bit ahead of the five-year pace again this week, maybe closer to 10 to 12% at this point. There was a lot of areas that were able to go last week. There were some areas that did get a little bit of rain here and there, but for the most part, I think we'll see some decent jumps. Usually, that first week in May, the second week in May is big time jumps. That's when everybody gets out because of the warmer weather. But we're just now getting underway. Should be, you know, should be under 15% pretty easily.
And unfortunately, Greg, when we look at the drought monitor map, Iowa's still one of the drier spots in the Corn Belt. Are there any other areas of concern as far as overall moisture deficits right now?
Continue to watch the Dakotas, especially North Dakota. There's going to be some concerns up there. But when you look at the longer term forecast, we do still look like it's going to be an east versus west battle this year. It looks like we're going to be a little bit on the drier side, not necessarily drought conditions, but a little bit on the drier side on the western belt, basically Iowa to the west. Illinois kind of falls in the middle. It's got equal chances of good and bad. And then once you get to Indiana and you go east, it goes and gets quite a bit wetter. Overall, the entire country is going to be seeing above normal, slightly above to above normal temperatures. So that'll be something to watch as some of these areas do start to dry down as we go into June, July, and August. But overall, I think the big thing here is that there is a good amount of rain coming for Iowa in 6 to 10 day forecast, or just essentially the next 2 weeks. That should help things out, especially those guys that just got stuff planted. So we get a little bit of rain right on top of those plants.
We'll have more from Greg McBride of Allendale coming up later on in the program to talk about livestock. But right now, Andy Peterson's ready to go. He's got his three big Iowa Ag Matters. First go-round right now.
Number three.
Serving as a hub on the cutting edge of agriculture, the Landis Innovation Connector in central Iowa, Brooke Blessington is the director and says it provides great opportunities to promote conversation and development of the newest ag innovations.
The Innovation Connectors, the events themselves are really an opportunity for farmers and stakeholders of Landis to get in the front doors and have some really great conversations with leadership, with the people who are out there making changes for the agricultural community, and engaged with what we see as the leading edge solutions for the ag, for ag as an industry.
She says it's not just new products and concepts that are on display, but exhibitors also have the chance to show off existing products and their benefits, and sometimes it also leads to refining of those existing products.
Number two.
A sigh of relief on behalf of the ethanol industry as the EPA approved an emergency waiver for summertime usage here in 2024. It'll be the final time they have to do that, as they'll make sales legal starting in 2025. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Negg welcoming the announcement, saying that Iowa drivers and fuel retailers have been, quote, needlessly subjected to uncertainty about the availability of this more affordable option at a time when inflation is, quote, running hot, oil prices are rising, and global events are producing turmoil.
Number one.
Embracing nature on Earth Day, microbes, in fact, who help fight stressors throughout the growing season. It's key, according to Matt Prow, agronomist with Indigo Ag here in Iowa.
So our biological products, the majority of them are designed to deal with stressors that the crop endures during the growing season. Heat and drought are two of the big ones, but we also talk about flooding. You know, saturated soils is another one that we help with at times, but more recently we've also gotten into the what we call the biotic products, so products like biofungicides, bionematicides that help deal with those pests as well.
He says the products are applied directly on the seed and are effective throughout the entire growing season. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Every day you navigate a complex business and changing demands. Stay a step ahead with Experior. The first FDA-approved product of its kind, Experior creates the freedom and flexibility to support environmental stewardship without hindering animal performance measures like average daily gain, feed efficiency, and carcass characteristics. Own your future now. Talk to your Lanco representative or visit experiorbeef.com to learn more. Well, as we mentioned, talked to Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Negg earlier this morning about a whole host of topics that we'll be covering through the week here on Iowa Ag Matters. But, of course, first and foremost, the decision on E15 and the emergency waiver that came out on Friday. We'll get the Secretary's reactions next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, let's get the reaction here on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy, Dustin, Riley, and Mark. From Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Negg on the news that EPA will allow summertime sales of E15. Dustin?
All right, so before we get into planting and all that, we got a big announcement Friday. We know about the battle we've been waging for, you know, 2 years now about trying to get E15 year-round in 8 Midwestern states. Governor Reynolds was very instrumental in getting that done. But then EPA finally got around to it, then said, hey, let's wait till 2025 to start, and that irked us all even a little more. And so now there was some chances of legislation going on to get it done. The EPA kind of just relented finally on Friday. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we did finally have that emergency waiver that was granted to allow E15 usage during the summer fueling season. You know, again, this is comes with a it's good news, bad news, right? We needed it. We wanted it. Many of us have been asking for it. But it also just underscores how we continue to seek that national solution. We don't have that national year-round access E15 solution that we want. You know, it's a little frustrating. So, look, this is a team effort on the part of Iowa elected officials and industry leaders. You know, Governor Reynolds, Attorney General Byrd, myself, the whole delegation pushing hard to try to get to a solution here. And you know, the work just continues. But, you know, maybe the thing that frustrates me most is that we see the benefit here. Iowans set a record for E15 usage last year. In fact, it was up 50%. And the number that, you know, I think should be important to all of us is that saved Iowans nearly $38 million in terms of the cost at the pump, meaning E15 was cheaper than the alternatives that they would see. Now, we look at that and say, my goodness, why wouldn't we want everybody to have access to that kind of fuel and that kind of savings? Oh, and by the way, beyond, you know, we're talking E15, and many of us would love to see pushing beyond to things like E30. But meanwhile, we're still trying to achieve this nationwide solution. But, you know, for the time being, we'll take that emergency waiver. It's certainly needed. It was certainly justified. And we'll continue to work for that national solution.
You know, and it's kind of frustrating. We had a national solution back in, was it 2019? We got it year round. Of course, the courts in D.C. blocked it. We know why they blocked it. So really, it shouldn't be that hard for EPA to just go and say, hey, let's fix that hole that we saw that the court was able to shoot down, and let's get it fixed and put it right back out there. And, you know, I asked Secretary Vilsack earlier this year, too, like, why do we keep putting a Band-Aid on something that clearly needs to be stitched?
Well, where there's a will, there's a way. That's what I would say. I mean, there's many ways to achieve this, and we just flat out don't have we don't have an administration that wants to do that. And they'll talk a good game. They'll say they're supportive, but really, let's put our money where our mouth is. Let's see that national year-round solution that, again, we know would benefit. You know, look, it's good for certainly farmers from a market standpoint. It's good for an industry from a economic development and job standpoint. It's you know, good for consumers. But look at the world today. We've got a very uneasy world, you know, and think about that, what that means in terms of energy availability, and the importance of energy independence. That's a national security issue. And I think every now and then we have to be reminded of that this is not just about a great marketplace, but it's also about...
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
We look around the state at cash prices here coming up. Dustin has that for us as we look at basis on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture. Straight ahead. Sit tight.
Let's run down some of those elevator prices for you here on this Monday, April the 22nd on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Dustin Huffman. Not seeing too much of a change in the basis prices, just kind of a little bit of up and down momentum depending on what the elevator needs. Let's go ahead and take a look. Let's start at ADM Burlington. They're a penny over on corn today at $4.34, soybeans a dime under at $11.36. Cargill Eddyville, a dime over on corn, cash bid $4.43. New Co-op Algona, a dime over on corn, $4.43. Soybeans 55 cents under at $10.91. Ag State Sheldon, 25 cents over on corn, they're at $4.58. Soybeans 65 cents under at $10.81. Ag State Elta, 2 cents under on corn, they're at $4.35 for the cash bid. Soybeans are 55 cents under, they are at $10.91. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 27 cents over on corn, $4.60. Soybeans a dime over, they're at $11.56. Nexus Co-op in Marble Rock, they're 15 cents over on corn, $4.48. Soybeans 45 cents under at $11.01. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, 18 cents over on corn, cash bid $4.51. At ADM Des Moines, they're 8 cents under on soybeans, cash bid $11.38. New Co-op Red Oak, a nickel over on corn, $4.38. Soybeans 50 cents under, they're at $10.96. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 10 cents under on corn, $4.23. Soybeans 48 cents under at $10.98. At New Co-op Sheraton, they're 15 cents under on corn, $4.18. Soybeans 55 cents under, cash bid $10.91. Walk On Feed Ranch, 6 cents under on corn, $4.27. Soybeans 40 cents under at $11.06. New Co-op Glidden, a dime over on corn, cash bid $4.43. Soybeans 50 cents under at $10.96. Innovative Ag Farley, 6 cents over on corn, $4.39. Soybeans 39 cents under with a cash bid $11.07. And at Cargill Muscatine today, they're 4 cents under on corn at $4.29, and soybeans 13 cents under at $11.33. Cash corn and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. That's been a check of the basis prices here on Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We've got more markets still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters. A full rundown of the midday numbers with Mark and Andy coming up. We'll check all those grain and livestock prices for you. Don't forget, you can get free market analysis sent right to your phone 3 times a day from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network Market Podcast. Openings, middays, and closings. Find them on Amazon, Apple, Spotify, Google, and Podbean. More IAM coming up.
Well, as we get ready to roll the planters here, the booths that we enjoy visiting at Farm Progress Show, like Case IH booth, the planning is well underway. Mark is covering an exhibitor meeting with our farm friends at Farm Progress Show, visiting with Tracy Rotemeyer from Case IH.
And we were here about a month ago for a separate meeting. It was more for the emergency services, those types of people, to understand exactly what the setup was going to be like for the show. There's a new route to the show as well to get even more people here at the ground. So it's going to be jam-packed this coming show here in August. And Tracy, today the meeting was between vendors and exhibitors to kind of link up, work together, and learn some things, get set up for the show. What did you do here today? Because I know you've never been in this job role getting ready for a show like this before.
Correct. Today was a big day of learning for me, but really I would summarize it by saying opportunities. What are the opportunities for the 2024 Farm Progress Show? And gosh, there's so many and so many that I'm excited about. But yeah, it's really just talking to other vendors and exhibitors, really about that experience. What do we want farmers to walk away from Farm Progress Show? How do we want them to feel? What do we want them to know? How do we get them excited? So a lot of just brainstorming and talking about opportunities.
And we know this is a massive show, but in addition to just the size of the show, why was it important to be here today in person to have this meeting?
Well, again, it's networking, right? There are so many parts and pieces and vendors and people that it takes to make this happen behind the scenes. So it's connecting to those people, forming those relationships, talking about ideas. The kind of who's who in the zoo is here today, and it was just really exciting to make those connections and start planning.
And then for the actual planning, like you mentioned, what are you thinking about from your job and from your role with Case IH about getting ready for the show and knowing all those ducks you need to have in a row?
So I learned a lot about all of the opportunities to we call it, get that experiential butts in seats, right? So we talked about ride and drive opportunities. We talked about the field demo opportunities, all of the opportunities for new sponsorships. One that I'm really excited about is something we're exploring for women in ag content and really highlighting influential women in ag. So it's really about, you know, that experience for what we want customers to walk away from and some new and cool opportunities that are coming to 2024.
And we know Case IH, kind of a cornerstone brand in agriculture, so you would expect to see Case IH at a show like this. But why is it up near that top of the priority list for things that you need to get ready for in a coming year?
Well, you know, for every year, but 2024, this is a big year for us. We've coined it Year of the Combine. So it's really giving those farmers and those potential customers an opportunity to see, touch, and feel our equipment and our new product launches. And so this is the key opportunity to have those products on display, have our experts, our teams there, talking to farmers and customers about those new products, and talking through that experience and that journey and why you should buy a new red combine.
And this year as well for Farm Progress Show, also exciting because we are that much further from COVID. And we know that in 2022, yes, we were kind of on the edges of COVID, but we were still dealing with it. And this year, it sounds like everything is coming together for a full jam-packed 2024 show.
That's what I'm hearing too, and it's super exciting because, right, there's nothing better than to be face-to-face with the equipment, with our experts, with farmers. There is a lot of kind of, I'll call it pent-up excitement. Farmers are ready to get out. They're ready to be face-to-face, and the numbers that we're seeing, the interest, the people raising their hands, wanting to be involved, are on levels that we haven't seen for several years. So again, it's a sign that things are coming back in a great way.
Tracy, thanks so much for the time here today. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Mark.
Well, thanks to Mark and Tracy there for that update from the Farm Progress Show grounds. Right now, Andy Peterson is set to go. He's got round two of the three big Iowa Ag Matters here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Number three.
Taking a look at the numbers in Iowa from the Cattle on Feed report. Total cattle on feed up about 1% from a month ago and 2% from last year at 1.2 million head. Placements were down a little bit. In fact, about 9% from February and 1% from March of 2023 at 159,000 head. Marketings were down 13% from a month ago and 5% from a year ago. Other disappearance from all feedlots in Iowa totaled about 4,000 head.
Number two.
Serving as a hub on the cutting edge of agriculture, the Landis Innovation Connector in central Iowa, Brooke Blessington is the director and says it provides great opportunities to promote conversation and development of the newest ag innovations.
The Innovation Connectors, the events themselves are really an opportunity for farmers and stakeholders of Landis to get in the front doors and have some really great conversations with leadership, with the people who are out there making changes for the agricultural community and engaged with what we see as the leading edge solutions for ag as an industry.
She says it's not just new products and concepts that are on display, but exhibitors also have the chance to show off existing products and their benefits. And sometimes it also leads to refining of those existing products.
Number one.
Embracing nature on Earth Day, microbes, in fact, who help fight stressors throughout the growing season. It's key, according to Matt Prow, agronomist with Indigo Ag here in Iowa.
So our biological products, the majority of them are designed to deal with stressors that the crop endures during the growing season. Heat and drought are two of the big ones, but we also talk about flooding. Saturated soils is another one that we help with at times, but more recently we've also gotten into what we call the biotic products, so products like biofungicides, bionematicides that help deal with those pests as well.
He says the products are applied directly on the seed and are effective throughout the entire growing season. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, as I was mentioning earlier, the statewide 4-inch soil temperatures are recovering nicely after the freezing temperatures this past weekend. I did, by the way, see, Dustin, most of those soybeans that are emerged in Delaware County did survive. Now, there were a few that got frozen off. Interestingly enough, the analysis was the ones that were by corn stalks got colder than the ones that had bare soil around them, which I suppose makes sense. The soil is a great insulator and or holder of heat. Anyway, as far as soil temps go, projection is for most of the state, actually, east of Highway 63 to be above 50 yet today. Later on tomorrow, basically all of the state except for a few counties in far northeastern Iowa, four of them to be exact, should be in the 50s. Then the middle of the week, it may fall a little bit before getting stronger in through the end of the week and into next week. So there'll be a lot of planters. I don't think there's any doubt about that. That'll be rolling here very, very soon.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, Secretary Nag talked to me. He lives up in that Emmitsburg area, and he was saying that they're just about where they want to be, so they're not in too much of a hurry, and they've still got a little bit of time. But he said at that time, that clock is ticking for a lot of them to the south. But anyway, markets are coming up next. Midday numbers here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson, joined today by Joe Camp of Comstock here at Midday on Monday. Joe, what are we seeing taking place in the grains?
Well, nice to finally talk to you on an update here. We're sharply higher, really led by wheat. futures up more than 20 cents for both the Chicago and Kansas City contracts. Some talk about escalation of the conflict in Ukraine, more targeting of grain infrastructure and shipping assets around the Black Sea, including that key Odessa port city. You've also got the ongoing influence of dry weather in Russia, so related to what's going on over there. Some concern, too, about dry conditions expanding across the southern plains. We've got some rain in the forecast for this weekend, but potentially missing out some of those spots in western Kansas that have recently saw their condition ratings deteriorate. We'll have another update on the crop progress numbers out after the bell today, where we'll potentially see some decline in those ratings. Again, we'll see the corn and soybean plantings up maybe 10 or 11% for corn, 7 or 8% for soybeans, and just watching the forecast, waiting for spots to see those planters start to roll.
That's the latest on the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Brand new week here, Mark. Let's look at some of these cash markets, including the beef side of the equation. 113,000 head of daily estimated cattle slaughter. That is 8,000 more than a week ago and 7,000 more than a year ago. Boxes are mixed here at midday, with 77 loads of choice cuts selling down 13 cents to 95.67. Select 290.83 up $1.56 with 20 loads of movement there, and the spread obviously narrowing to just $4.84. Pork-wise, daily estimated slaughter total numbers coming in at 480,000 head. That's 4,000 less than a week ago, 13,000 more than a year ago. As far as those cash markets go, let's wrap up Friday's trade. Remember where things started from as the activity began this morning. Barrels and gilts producers sold on a carcass basis, negotiated purchase-wise. 2,399 had a sale, so a very light run. And the market was down $1.29, weighted average price of $88.49. As far as formula purchases go, 144,000 head, weighted average price of $90.02. So that market ended up being about 30 cents stronger. Now, as of what's happening here mid-morning, negotiated purchases, only 1,746 head, very light run, and as you would expect with those lower numbers, no comparison due to confidentiality issues. Formula purchases much better, over 156,000 head of sales, with the weighted average price of $90.14, so that market essentially is flat.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
May corn up 4.5 at 438 even. May soybeans up 7.5 at 1158 even. May soybean meal down $1.20 at 342.50. May soybean oil up 74 cents at 45.12. On the Merck, June live cattle up 2 even at 177.67. May feeder cattle up 3.35 at 245.35. May lean hogs up 37 cents at 96.60. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Well, as promised, Greg McBride is back talking with Mark Magnuson here as they get set to talk about what's going on with those cattle and hogs in the livestock markets here on this Monday.
On the other side of the ag marketplace, what's happening with the cattle and hogs?
So we had a cattle on feed report on Friday, and it was we're going to take it as friendly versus the estimates for placements, but it does show some upfront issues with our marketings being as low as they were, 86.3%, so significantly lower than last year, and even lower than expectations. The same thing was said on placements. So the long term perspective on production is still viable. That's still a friendly conversation that we had last year and that we continue to have this year. Those placement numbers do look friendly for this market, but with that short-term marketing issue, that could hold us back from getting back to our winning ways in this market for at least the short term.
We've talked about the nice weather that we've had here to start the year for the most part.
Does that make an even bigger difference when it comes to the grilling demand and those numbers that we see, or is it just kind of a nice upside to that potential for people getting out to the supermarket to buy those items?
Yeah, that definitely it's a psychology thing at this point, the grilling demand idea, especially when it comes to pork and whatnot, being that the pork hasn't seen the strength that the cattle market did over the last couple of years here. Now the pork market, the hogs themselves, funds are very long in that market. They're at 80, 85%, 89% of their record long position. So they are getting to that upper end. They had a nice rebound on Friday. So that market overall is still in an uptrend, and it held its support level. The thing to watch now is do the funds take it to a new record long after they've seen a little bit of a retracement in this market? Otherwise, we could be looking at just maybe a retest of those highs before it falls back off.
Greg McBride of Allendale, our guest here today. Greg, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch for more marketing information?
Give us a call at 800-2-MARKET. That's 800-262-7538.
Greg, thanks so much for the time here today. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
Thank you, Mark.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, of course, this being Earth Day, a lot of focus is going to be on conservation and things that we do as farmers to help make sure that we are providing for the land. And Practical Farmers of Iowa has always been a member of that trope of people that is really working hard to do better by the environment. And we're going to talk about wildlife habitats with them coming up next here on Iowa Ag Matters online at iowaagnet.com. Stay tuned. There's more. Well, of course, on this Earth Day, we're going to talk about how we can keep doing better by the environment. And Gracie of Practical Farmers of Iowa talking about some habitat incentives with Riley Smith right now here on Iowa Ag Matters. Let's listen in.
First off, Grace, just tell us a little bit about how this program works.
Yeah, thanks, Riley, for having me and giving me an opportunity to talk about our habitat incentives program. So our Habitat Incentives Program has a few different options to best meet the operational logistics and conservation goals of the farmers and landowners. And so when farmers and landowners reach out to Practical Farmers of Iowa, they can have an initial consultation with me or Brad Whitson at Practical Farmers of Iowa to just kind of get a context of their operation and what they're wanting to do on their farm. And then from there, we'll go ahead and see what program fits the best for their goals.
So then taking a look at these practices that are supported by the Habitat Incentives Program, first off is prairie strips or buffer strips. Obviously, this is very familiar to the farmers among our listeners. So tell us a little bit about how that side of the program works out.
Mm-hmm. So PFI will provide technical assistance as well as financial assistance for farmers to incorporate prairie strips in their crop field. And what's unique about our program is that it can work with the USDA's CRP or Conservation Reserve Program. And so if a farmer decides to go that route, they will receive $256 per acre of one-time incentive payment from Practical Farmers of Iowa. And then they can continue to work with their local USDA service center to receive technical assistance as well as you know, the annual CRP rental payment and cost shares to establish it. There is also an option to go strictly through PFI, and that is a shorter-term five-year commitment. So this would be great for folks who are not sure if they want to commit to that longer 10 to 15-year CRP contract length, or for whatever reason, their field is not eligible for CRP. And so in that case, Practical Farmers of Iowa will provide technical assistance as well as a higher incentive payment rate of $1,100 to $1,300 per acre, depending on where your farm is located in Iowa.
And then this second part of it, the pollinator habitat, I think is really interesting to me as well, because I think you see a lot more lately of people kind of thinking about pollinators and make sure to take care of them. So on the pollinator habitat side of things, what all is included in that, and how does that work on an operation?
Mm-hmm. So PFI works with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service partners to provide both technical assistance as well as financial assistance for farmers or landowners to create pollinator habitat. But what's really special about this program is that, unlike a lot of other programs out there, our pollinator program not only supports creating a brand new habitat, but it will also help with improving the quality of existing habitat through management practices such as invasive species removal or prescribed burning or interseeding to increase plant species diversity of the existing habitat. So it's meant to provide habitat for four specific species that are threatened or endangered, which include rusty patch bumblebee, American bumblebee, monarch butterflies, and regal fritillary butterflies. And so these four species require really high quality habitat. And so what's cool about our pollinator habitat is that it will be very high quality, high diversity habitat that will have 70 to 80 different native plant species. It will have something blooming all year round, except winter, of course. And so it's not only great for those four species, but it's also great for just any sorts of wildlife, you know, upland birds or deer or turkey. And it's absolutely beautiful.
And then for anyone who is eligible and wants to apply, how long do they have to apply for this program?
Yeah, so this program is open, and it's received on a rolling basis. And so I would say just whenever they're ready, give us a call and we can get started.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Boy, it goes in a hurry, doesn't it? As we're out of time here on Iowa Ag Matters, thanks to Riley and Dustin and Mark, and of course you for being here. We encourage you to be safe as you get ready to begin your spring planting season with prep activities. We'll see you tomorrow on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, your authentic, trusted, and official voice of Iowa agriculture.